Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You are in the All Access Pass session, and I have Dave, the Dave Jackson, back here with me. Welcome back, Dave.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I feel like, did you hear, like, when I walked through the doors into this area, it was like,
oh,
I and I was like,
it was like, it was fireworks and confetti. It was all happening. I would do nothing but roll out the red carpet for you, Dave, just so you know. Okay, so we are going to deep dive into a couple of things. One is about how it is that we choose the right guests. And remember, like, we're doing this with the view of we're trying to, as entrepreneurs, we have a podcast, we have a show, and we're trying to sell our own thing, you know, whether that's a coach, a consulting gig, an agency, you know, some relationship, whatever that is, that's what we're trying to sell. And yet, you know, we want to get guests on because, to your point, you know, it's great for networking and it's and all of that. But, you know, we want to choose the right guests, find the right guests, choose the right guests. And we want to interview them in a way that actually gets at the outcome that we want for our business. So over to you, Dave. I'd love to know how it is that you think through all this.
Well, there are a couple ways. I thought about who was my last guest. And my last guest was Tom Webster from Sounds Profitable. And he has, like, almost like, we don't want you to stop now, but sometime today, go to Amazon and buy the book, The Audience is Listening. It is an amazing book. And when I read it, I could not stop talking about it. Hence, I just said it again. And so that's part of the reason. When I read somebody's book, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And what's great is Tom made it easy to get to him and go, hey, I love your book. Can you come on my show? And originally, he said, yeah, let's do it. Well, I hadn't read the book yet. And I said, okay, I'm glad you're going to come on. I said, but I'm about halfway through. Let me finish the other half, because you ask much better questions when you have read the book. That's just a lot of people like to read the back cover, maybe the inside, you know, but I'm like, no, read the whole thing, because A, your interview is going to stand out because nobody reads the book. Like, just nobody reads the book. And so, A, your guest is going to like the fact that you actually read the book. They're going to know you did the work. And it's just going to create a better interview. Just trust me on that. It really does. So that's one, that somebody had a product that I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I've had, you know, Tom Webster. I had Pat Flynn on when he had his little stand for cameras that he was doing. And he had a plug-in for podcasters. So if there's a service that would serve my audience, that's one I will do. I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring you this expert. Like, I do a thing right now called Podcaster Happy Hour. And this, next week we're doing, there's a website called pre something site. See, I should know this, but anyway, it's a cool tool that lets you sell courses and this and that, but it's like dirt cheap. And so part of it is kind of selfish because I want to go, how come you're so cheap? Because that doesn't make sense. But also, it's something that my audience is looking for. How can I sell my own products and entrepreneurs and things of that nature? And Deidre will tell you later what the thing is that I can't remember. So that's, again, a service. And then at times, so those are kind of like industry adjacent. We share an audience. Like, I share entrepreneurs, so do they. So that kind of thing comes into play. I do occasionally interview my competition, but another one that how I just pick is I listen to a lot of podcasts about podcasting. So I'm kind of listening to my competition, and some people won't do that because they don't want to copy them. And I'm like, no, straight up, if I hear a guest that is super amazing, I will approach them. And some people won't. They're like, well, he was just on, you know, Jane's show. I don't want to like steal her guest. Well, you're assuming that your audience listens to Jane's show. And that is not the case. And then the other thing is, it seems like I always want to ask different questions. Like, I will sit there and, you know, Jane is talking to somebody and he's like, yeah, and my mom was abducted by aliens. And then Jane goes, great, what was your aha moment? And I'm like, wait, aren't we going to go back to the alien thing? Like, she's just got her list. And so I'm going to go back and go, so let's start off. Thanks for coming on the show. Tell me about your mom and the aliens. You know, I'm going to ask that follow-up question that somebody didn't do. So that's another reason sometimes why I don't mind having somebody that was on another show. I'm like, no, this is good stuff. And then I'm going to ask the questions that my audience wants to hear. Maybe they have a slightly different audience. So that's kind of how I look at it. And the bottom line is I have to know who my audience is and who is going to bring value to them. because I'm going to bring value. Some people go, well, should I do an interview show or a solo show? And I'm like, no, do both. When you do a solo show, you grow your influence because I talk to one person. None of this, hey, guys, stuff. I talk to one person. Hey, how's it? I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're listening. I talk to one person. And then when you do interviews, you grow your network because I want somebody to go, hey, at that company's name that I can't remember, do you know anybody that does like podcasting? They're like, I just talked to a guy. And so Pennsite, there it is, Pennsite. I knew it started with a P. So that you grow your network when you do interviews.
I could tell that was really bugging you that you didn't.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I hope that you're more memorable, Dave, too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I love this. So yeah, it sounds like there are a few buckets that you put kind of your guests into. So there's, you know, people who are sort of adjacent to you and that you can share audiences. There's like almost competitors. Again, you probably have some kind of shared audience maybe. But again, it feels like there's no such thing as like direct competitors, because to your point, like we all approach things differently. We all, like someone who resonates with you won't resonate with your competitor and vice versa. So, you know, yeah. I think let's all share the love. Why not?
Exactly. I have another strategy, and Natalie Ekdahl does Biz Chicks, and it's BIZCHIX. And she did interviews for 2 years, and her whole goal was to help women CEOs who are making the big bucks. And so she really wasn't getting that much in terms of, you know, clients from this. And so what she did was she offered discounted coaching to come on the show, and you just ask Natalie your questions, and here's what I'm trying to do. And then Natalie gets to spread her wings and go, look how much I know about running a business. And she answers her question. And she said it was interesting. It was like her whole audience went, oh, that's what coaching is. And she goes, and as soon as she did that, the floodgates opened. So that's another strategy. I'm actually starting that now, where I'll have somebody come on. I will listen to their show. I'll look at their website and go, okay, this is what you're doing right. Here's some things you might think about polishing it up. And I just made an offer where they just can't refuse unless they're really worried about being like doing it in public. I think that's the one thing that makes it a little weird for some people, but that's one where I'm like, okay, here's somebody who should hire me. So I'm just going to give them kind of a discounted taste of what it would look like and how I can help their show.
That's so cool. Okay. I want to talk now about, I know that you kind of mentioned that, you know, we know, for example, let's not go into full-on backstory. We know, let's read the books let's do our homework. We want to ask questions that hopefully haven't been asked before or a little bit different.
Yeah.
Is there anything by way of like structuring the interview that you think about so that it does actually get to a point where it makes sense for you to talk about your thing?
That's a great question. I always think a lot about the first question just to get them into some sort of story. I always have 4 or 5 questions on a notepad that I kind of call my game plan. But the minute they come out of the gate, I'm sitting here typically with a pen that doesn't click. And what I do is I'm really listening, because some of the best questions are those that are follow-ups. And so if somebody says, I knew I had to stand out if I was going to make it in this business and blah, 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 and they keep, I'm going to write down stand out and then go back to listening. How you work your stuff into it is kind of if they give you, you know, well, I was trying to do this. And sometimes you can share a story of a client and say, oh, I was working with a client once that had that same situation. And then we tried this and it solved the problem, such and such. Next question. Because you don't want to just reiterate what they said, but anytime you can say, oh, I've totally seen that, yada, 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 blah, 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 kind of thing. Because nobody tunes into, you know, nobody's setting their DVR for the ShamWow commercial, right? They're like, oh, ShamWow's coming back on at 2 a.m. tonight. I gotta record that. So we don't want to make it a giant commercial. But if we can show, again, that's at that point, it's kind of a personal story about how this person overcame this and get back to that. And so I think that would be probably one way of doing it. And then I always, we already talked about the Jerry Springer at the end, but anytime you can do a short one, because if you do too long a one, you turn in, if you ever watched Bill Maher show, Bill Maher has a guest and it should just be called Bill Maher talks to, maybe not, because he'll ask them a question and they will go into a thing, and then he just does a huge Me Too. Oh, man, back in the 60s, I was doing this in a club, and yet it's all, I mean, I want to take one, transcribe it, and see what percentage of the actual interview he said with air quotes is Bill Maher. I'm like, I remember once he was interviewing comedian Chevy Chase, and he went into this weird direction talking about the Beatles for whatever reason and finally asked a good question, and Chevy Chase went to answer, and Bill interrupted him, and Chevy Chase being Chevy Chase said, hey, Bill, I'm trying to tell a story here. You know, so there are times that Bill, now on the other hand, Bill likes to drink and smoke while he's doing interviews. Maybe not the best strategy. Maybe keep your brain a little more clear so you can stay focused that way.
This is so funny. I've like lost my train of thought. This is great. And you mentioned the Jerry Springer, but let's go into almost like if you have a particular workflow that you do, because I know that you end the interview and then when you're editing, then you think about, you know, what to talk about in the Jerry Springer. So why don't you just give us a little bit of insight into your workflow?
Yeah. So what I will do is go listen to other interviews that they've been on for two reasons. Number one, can they talk? And number two, how do they sound? So there's that. But I'm also looking for that question that didn't get asked. So if somebody says something like, oh, I would have asked this follow-up question. So then I will stop the interview and write it in something on my phone. This is a question I'm going to ask. So I'm looking for those things because I want to do an interview that's different than everybody else's. So there's part of that. And then the other thing I've done is I've done interviews where I'll have kind of my questions laid out. And I try to, you know, kind of put them, I don't really think about the hero's journey, but I kind of start off with a little bit like, how did you get into podcasting and, you know, what's working, what's not, et cetera. So I kind of know what I want from this guest before they come on. But I have had people drop really just ginormous knowledge bombs at like the 20-minute mark. And I'm like, oh, my audience, I just picture them like a huge grocery store and they put the milk way in the back, you know, and they got to go all the way back there to get it. And I've just taken the question and the answer and like, we're just going to put that right up front. We're not going to make you wait because now we've got the good stuff and they're listening and they're like, wow, this is really good. And what happens to the phone? It goes in the pocket. It goes in the purse. It goes into the car thing. So they're less likely to hit fast forward or whatever. We've got them hooked in with some really good content up front. So just because the interview, you know, is, you know, point A to point B, you can mix those around. Obviously, don't make people say things they didn't say, but there are times when I will rearrange things. I know when you came on, another style of interview that everybody loves, but just takes like 30% longer is a narrative style interview where I will just take their answers and then I've got this puzzle, like here's all this stuff. How can I put this into a flow that just kind of creates a story? And anytime you can throw in a like, oh, but Deidre thought this was going to work, but she was surprised by this. And people are like, you know, anytime you can get people thinking, well, I wonder what happens next, that's always a good thing to keep them coming back.
Oh, man. Yes. So anyone who has listened to my back catalog of, it was at the time called Grow My Podcast Show, but it's now called Win the Content Game. I was doing narrative style podcasts and man, it did take, they were fun, but it did take a lot. And let's like in 2 minutes, this is a challenge for you, Dave, in two minutes. Can you tell people a little bit about how you approach a narrative? Because this is actually a really, really great way to, if you have an interview show and you really actually want to very tightly choreograph it towards an outcome that you're trying to get your audience to do, i.e., you know, like a narrative style podcast is actually a really, really great way to do that. So can you talk a little bit about what it is and how you found it to be the most efficient way to bring it to life?
Yeah, I think because you get to put the story in whatever order you want. And that's where, you know, you have that kind of introductory. They come in, here's what they're doing. And then usually it's here's something that worked. And if there is something that didn't work or something that you can do a cliffhanger on, then we're somewhere about 15 minutes into the show, you can go, Deidre just listed her three favorite things about such and such. It's just a second. Wait till you hear what number four is. And then here's the commercial for you. And then you come back and then you can do a reset. Okay, number one was this, number two was this, number three was this, and check out number four. And then here's the rest of the interview. So things like that, it makes it a little easier to figure out. You talked about where do you squeeze the stuff in. It's a little easier to figure that out when it's not live or, you know, you've broken the whole interview into pieces and now you're putting them back together in whatever form you want.
Yeah, so good. But it is. It does take a little bit longer. Do you still do them now yourself, Jay?
I do them when I have the time because yeah. I just think it makes a better interview. I just yes. know on the Tom Webster one, actually with Tom, here's a fun thing. I know Tom, and this is kind of important. If you're interviewing a friend, it's really easy because you're too comfortable. And as I was listening back to my talk with Tom, it was just that. It was a talk. And I was like, did I even ask a question here? And so I like the first two questions are questions. And then it goes narrative style because I would just stop talking and be like, well, this is important. And I can't believe people are doing this in the industry. Like, that's not a question. And then Tom would say something. So can you mix narrative and non-narrative? Yes, you can. Why? Because it's your show. You can do whatever you want. And I just listened to it and I was like, oh, you idiot. You were kind of in the friend zone here just chatting with your buddy. And I know we want it to be a conversation. I get that. But in the end, I was like, this is kind of weird. That's not really a question. So I took me out and put in some questions and fine-tuned the answers and ended up with a much better episode.
It's so good. Yeah, the Narrative Style podcast or the episodes do actually set up context really well. That's what I found to be really powerful with them. Okay, so and then really quickly with your Jerry Springer ending, can you talk us through like what your workflow is there? As in, you know, after you've recorded the interview, then what do you actually do to get to that, let's call it 3 minutes, ending?
Yeah, so I will, when I'm editing it, and I do my own editing because I'm weird. I like that stuff. But I will listen to the question and then I will listen to the answer. And the first thing I listen to is, did they answer the question? And if they didn't, it's gone. You know, so I've got all these great questions. So as I'm listening and when I say, you know, the one thing that really stood out, it's because it's the one thing that really stood out. Like that's an honest, like this is what happened. And so I will do that. And then it's, you know, Deidre mentioned this thing about how CapShow can just take an episode and turn it into this brilliant blog post. And it's just one of those things, like, have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz when they go from black and white to color? I just remember when I opened that up and I was like, okay, well, let's see what this blog post looked like. And it not only gave me the blog post, but it gave me like, hey, put an image here that shows two people doing this. I was like, what is this voodoo? I can't believe it. So that kind of thing where you can just say, you know, now in this case, obviously I'm plugging CapShow, but something that's this reminds me, I remember when I was hanging out with my brother one night and this happened. And then it's just a story that makes the point that you're trying to say. Now, it doesn't always have to be a personal story, but those usually hold people's attention because, again, they want to know what happens next or things like that. So but the bottom line is you want to remind people in a kind of passive aggressive way that it's your show. Yes, I just made them look great for 20 minutes and it's amazing and go buy their product. But in the end, I kind of want to remind people that like, oh yeah, that whole podcasting thing, if you need some help with that, I know somebody and here's my website. So that's kind of what the whole Jerry Springer is for.
Yeah. And on that, if you need help with your podcast, I know somebody, Dave Jackson, who can help you with your podcast and importantly, actually making money from your podcast. And you actually have a whole book on this called Profit From Your Podcast. Can you tell people a little bit about your book?
Yeah, it goes over 7 different ways to make money with your podcast. And a lot of them, like I have a chapter on, here are things that aren't money. Like I've been asked to speak, which then I always say it boils down to this. Your podcast leads to relationships. Relationships lead to opportunities. And opportunities lead to more relationships. It will lead more to opportunities. It's just this spinning wheel. And so I interviewed over 70 different people. And there are a lot of stories in there. So it's almost like a white paper in some ways where it's like so-and-so did this and it resulted in this. And there's a great chapter on crowdfunding. And I interviewed Jonathan Oakes, who does Trivia Warfare. And he talked about this is what was great. And then he got so popular, he created a problem. And how did he get himself out of that problem and get it in there like that? So it's really handy. And it really is strategies that people did. Like, this isn't like, I think this will work. It's like, no, this is what happened. And this is what they did. And this is, you know, they're like, normally I don't recommend merch at all because less than 5% of people will actually buy, you know, a t-shirt or something like that. Unless, of course, the one people that were crushing at that, they would have, for lack of a better phrase, an audio meme, right? They would say something in the show and everybody would be like, what do you mean chocolate banana? and everybody would be like, chocolate banana. Right, and they're losing it. They'd have a t-shirt with a picture of a chocolate banana on it, and nobody got it except their fans, and then they would make it a limited time offer. Like, hey, if you want this, it's only now through the end of September. Get your chocolate banana t-shirt at mywebsite.com/store. So there are things like that where I go like, oh, I'd never recommend merch. And they're like, oh, we do okay. And I'm like, okay, but how? And they're like, well, it's limited edition. It's usually based on something. I know there was an LGBTQ plus show, and they got a 1-star that had like a 3-word, not very nice review. And they took a screenshot of it and made it into a t-shirt that sold like gangbusters. It's kind of like they took something that was supposed to be an insult and turned it into kind of a badge of honor. So
there are
lots of things in the book. You can find it at profitfromyourpodcast.com.
Oh, that's amazing. And also Dave has very kindly given us all the first chapter for free. So that's at profitfromyourpodcast.com/free-chapter. Thank you so, so much, Dave. The Dave Jackson. Will we have you back next year, next year's summit? What do you reckon?
Well, how hard did you have to twist my arm this year? It's kind of like, will you come talk? Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye.
See you.